Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to continue our study through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We are currently at section 272 of the Catechism, and we're going to be dealing with an understanding of our Almighty God in the face of what would appear to be his inability to stop things. We'll get to that in a second. But before we dive in headfirst into our catechism, let us first offer up our prayers unto him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, I give you thanks for setting me free from the law of sin and death, by giving me the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, by sending your Son as an offering in the likeness of sinful flesh. You have empowered me to not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You have thereby made it possible for me to attain eternal life, for your Spirit dwells in me. The Spirit himself gives witness with my spirit that I am your child, and I am also an heir with Christ. If I only suffer with him, so that I may be glorified with him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I chose this prayer today from my little prayer book because of that last little line that tells you that we should be heirs to Christ if we only allow ourselves to suffer with him. Because today we're going to talk about the almighty power of God and deal with the situation in which many people say there can't be a God, because if there was an all-good God, there wouldn't be evil, there wouldn't be suffering. Yet, it's exactly because there's evil and suffering that we know that there is a God. So let me dive into the catechism, give you this foundation, then we can move forward. Because the Catechism at 272 tells us that faith in God, the Father Almighty, can be put to test by the experience of evil and suffering. God can sometimes seem to be absent and incapable of stopping evil. But in the most mysterious way, God, the Father, has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humility and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. Christ crucified is thus the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is in Christ's resurrection and exaltation that the Father has shown forth the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. It's a fascinating statement that's put right there in the Catechism. And it tells us something about what we as Catholics understand as what can only be defined as the doctrine or the belief in redemptive suffering. It basically tells us that no matter how bad things get for us, no matter how destructive our lives are ruined by the things of the world and everything outside of it, God can do something even more greater in it. Yesterday when we talked about it, or when I brought it up, I pointed to Joseph. I pointed out that he, who was betrayed by his brothers because they determined they wanted to do evil to him, but instead of killing him outright, they sent him away into a worse situation. They wanted him to really suffer. They really wanted him to be tormented. And in that situation, years later, as recorded in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, when his brothers were tearful and begging for their lives out of fear because they thought, oh, he's going to get his vengeance now because dad's dead, he pointed out to them that what you meant for evil, God turned around and made for good. And it's that unique reality. The power of God gets seen in those moments. We don't always see them because we're too busy thinking about, oh, I have cancer, I have diabetes, I have some type of terminal illness of some kind, or this bad thing happened to me. I no longer have money for my job, and so on and so forth. And there are many people that get tormented by the cares of this world. Jesus talked about them in the parable of the sower, where the cares of the world are those seeds sown among the thorns, where it thrives for a time, but then the thorns choke out the word, because the thorns are like the cares of this world and everything that goes with it. And people lose faith in God because of things around us. We hear it often where people basically say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and this, because why would he let grandma die? Well, a lot of that reality is based on a very limited sense of what's going on around us. Scripture tells us that all things work together for good. And if we really believe that, we would see God's hand making something totally devastating, totally terrible, something good. Bad things happen to people all the time. Hurricanes, like the hurricane that's gone through the East Coast recently and still affecting a lot of that area. A lot of people will say that's a bad thing. Well, not necessarily. I mean, I remember somebody years ago when Hurricane Katrina went through and hit New Orleans, that was judgment of God. It's not so much judgment of God. It's God taking an opportunity to show greatness, to show that there's something different that can come out of something bad. And he did it most specifically in Jesus Christ on the cross, because Jesus went there not to suffer for himself. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to hang on a cross. He didn't have to become flesh and dwell among us. But because the love of God is so amazing, he came and died for you and me. And in that coming in the flesh, he revealed the triune nature of God and brought us into that fellowship. Would he have been able to do that had we not fallen into sin? Yeah. Because I believe if we really think about it, and we really take to heart what was said in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, I'm going to make man in our image, using the plural. He was already laying the seed for the Trinity to be brought out in Scripture and in our lives, in our revelation. And if we think about it, man is made of two composites, a spiritual composite that comes only from God, and the dust of the earth, which comes from the earth, created matter. Why is this unique in showing us that the Trinity was going to be eventually a reality for us to understand as individuals? Well, because when he said us, he meant Jesus. And if he made us part of the dust of the earth, he must have had from the very foundation of creation an idea of being incarnate and living among us. I know, blows my mind just to think about it. That's why I stopped to let you think about it. But that's the reality that comes into this. But because we fell into sin, Jesus had to die on the cross and then be raised again into glory. And then he's bringing us into that as well, because he wants us to have that full fellowship, that full communion that's only possible through him. I think this is something that we really need to grasp and understand. This is why my favorite verse is that verse in Job where it says, shouldn't we accept evil with the same attitude that we accept good? Because we will see the results of every bad thing that happens in our life being transformed and redeemed when God sets everything right. That's the reason why he's a God of justice. The whole idea that the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and it rains on the just and the unjust, isn't because the sun itself is good and the rain is bad. Because if you really think about it, rain in a desert is a good thing. So you'll want to have rain if you're in a deserted place. Now, if you're down in Florida and you just experienced a hurricane, you want to have some sun so it dries that stuff up. It's not the elements that are good or bad. It's the circumstances in which the elements are used. Because the good comes out of even the bad. I love to tell the story of a friend of mine who lived one time in a town and was trying to get out of it, but because of him being stuck in this town, his daughter was able to make friends with somebody at her school that was very important to God's plans later in life. But this man didn't know it. He kept getting thwarted on being able to move out of the town and find a better life for himself. And they went through a lot of struggles that he thought was unnecessary. When she finally graduated and was going off to college, he finally got accepted into a job. So they had a big going away party, not just for her going to college, but for the whole family moving. And as a result, he overheard a conversation between her, his daughter, and her best friend, where her best friend basically was crying and in tears, telling her how much she'd miss her, because if it wasn't for her, she would have probably committed suicide and not survived her high school years because of how bad her life was. Now, I know a little bit more of the details and could explain more, but it's not necessary. But it was a terrible time for her for a lot of reasons. But she didn't commit suicide because she had a friend whose family could not leave because the dad could not get a job to leave and got stuck in this no dead-end town, as he called it at one time. But this is something that we need to remember, that good comes out of bad all the time. We just don't always know where the good is. We don't see the silver lining. We don't see how all things work together for good. It's not that all things are in and of themselves good that happen to us, but that all things work together for good. Eventually, they all fall into place and lead to something greater. And that's why we have to have faith. It's why we have to trust in a withdrawing God. And I still marvel at people that say, "Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why this." Well, Job said that. And at the end of the book of Job, when God says, "Hey, did you really want to talk to me?" Job says, "Whoa, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth because I have no idea what I say, because I now see you." But think about that the next time you're wondering about the situations that are not working in your way. Because we need to live in faith. As 273 of the Catechism continues and tells us, only faith can embrace the mysterious ways of God's almighty power. Faith glories in its weaknesses in order to draw to itself Christ's power. The Virgin Mary is a supreme model of this faith, for she believed that nothing will be impossible for God and was able to magnify the Lord. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." This last part comes from the Magnificat, the prayer that she says when she's at Zechariah and Elizabeth's house after she's been greeted. And it's something that's prayed in the church at every evening prayer time in the daily office. And it's a reminder that because we believe, because we can see something more of what's going on in the world, we can have this bigger picture and really understand how God works in our midst. We can really trust in Him, because nothing that is impossible for Him. He can do all things. This is where He is almighty. He created everything. There is nothing He cannot affect because He brought it into being. And as Abraham confessed and is declared of him in Romans chapter 4, God is able to call those things that be not as though they were. So if something's missing, and you need something in your life, and God is the only way of being able to bring it in, He will do it. He will call that thing into existence, just like He did the rest of the universe. That's why He was able to believe that Isaac could be born. And because of that, Mary also had the same faith, the same definite "so be it," fiat. She determined to say amen, basically, to God and allow Him to work in her life. Allow Him to be God. Be still and know that I am God. Because when we truly understand who God is, when we really understand that He is above everything we could ever ask or think, and that He is all existence, that He is everything. And then He wants to have this unique relationship with us that's only possible because Jesus died on a cross. That it opens the door to so much more. Notice what's said in 274 of the Catechism, where it declares that nothing is more apt to confirm our faith and hope than holding it fixed in our minds that nothing is impossible with God. I want you to let that sink in. It's not that it's faith that moves mountains. God moves mountains. He's the one that made faith possible. A lot of these word of faith teachers run around and they're teaching you this gospel message that's all about health, wealth, and prosperity. They miss the struggle. There's been a couple times that I've heard different ones like Creflo Dollar and even K.C. Price and Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Jr. And more recently, I heard it when I was flipping the channels and stopped on Kenneth Copeland, because every now and then he has something good to say. But he even made this statement that if it was good for us to be sick, we should be praying for more sickness. And that just shows you how stupid some people are about what it is God does and how He works. It's not that we pray for illness. It's not that we pray against the act of God and asking for healing. No, it's something more basic. It's about trust. Can God do what you want Him to do? Or can you do what God wants you to do? I think the second one is more important. Too often the faith teachers tell us God is more or less a genie in the way they describe it. He has to answer to your prayers, because if you say it in Jesus' name and you do this, this, and this, and you're standing on faith this way, you'll get it. There's a sense in which that's right, because that's the way God set up the system and why He asked you to pray. But there's also this, do you trust Him? Do you really understand His omnipotence, His all-powerfulness? Do you really serve a God that can create everything? Do you really have a concept and really understand that you yourself are nothing and He is everything, and that without Him you can do nothing? Nothing is impossible with God. When it comes to the salvation of the rich, it's almost impossible for them to come into heaven any more than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. I know what you're thinking, but you know, it's that gate, the smallest gate in a city wall, that's the eye of the needle, because it's like threading a needle in a yarn work. So that's where it comes from. But God can do all things. Once our reason truly grasps the idea of God's almighty power, it will easily and without any hesitation admit everything else that the creed will afterwards propose for us to believe, even if they be great and marvelous things far above the ordinary laws of nature. And this goes with any kind of prayer. If we truly have faith in God, that's the Mark 11:22, the preface to the Faith Moving Mountains 23 and 24 answer to prayer. A lot of people miss that part. But if you truly have faith in God, if you really get an idea that He can do all things, then you know that you got the answer to your prayer, because that's really when you sink in and you really learn who He is, and you can even see Him doing something in the bad. It's not that bad things happen that are horrible, because if we looked at the bad things and said that those bad things were it, anytime somebody was killed, anytime any child was raped, anytime a pedophile got away with being a pedophile, or anytime somebody robbed or did anything vile and vicious or anytime any hurricane ever destroyed anybody's hometown or any boat burns up like it did in California this past week, or any other tragedy, we would have to throw up our hands and say there's no justice. But there is a God that's all powerful, and He can do all things. He can become bread. He can become wine. He can be confected in the Mass and be present in the Eucharist, just like He was as a babe in Bethlehem. And He can raise the dead. So Grandma's not in the grave forever. Grandpa's not gone because of some great tragedy. Your life doesn't have to end in misery. Yes, cancer can have its moment, but cancer can also be a way of stripping you of all those things that separate you from the Almighty God. Because there's something about really understanding that God is all-powerful that makes your world even more what it needs to be. Because in the end, God is good. All the time. And that is something we really need to keep in mind of. Because His goodness will not allow evil to have a final word. All things will work together for good. All things. Because God is able to do anything, even move a mountain. And if we truly get that, truly grasp His almighty powerfulness, and really grasp how He can bring good out of any situation, even the most vile, then we'll truly enter into paradise, truly experience Him as He will be experienced for all eternity, and be eternally blessed.